Welcome to What Living Means. I'm Vanessa Jasinski. Spring is finally here, and what better way to celebrate than a day in the park? In this episode, we dive deep into the transformative work of the Denver Park Trust, an organization dedicated to enhancing and preserving public green spaces in the Mile High City. We'll explore Denver Park Trust's mission, challenges, and success stories with founder Frank Rowe, as well as collaborative efforts with local government and community organizations. We hope this conversation will inspire you to get outside and work together to beautify our world. So tell me a little bit more about the Denver Park Trust. Give me kind of the high level. What do you guys do? Your mission?
Sure. Well, I'm glad you mentioned community because parks are an important part of communities. Every community should have housing, businesses, churches, synagogues, and parks, schools, et cetera. So the Denver Park Trust was formed in 2019. And with a mission to enhance and expand parks in Denver's historically under-resourced neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So when Denver was laid out, it was world-renowned for its park system in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. But those parks were basically in more of the well-resourced communities. And the areas of Denver that were industrial sites or lower-income communities didn't really have the parks. And so those are the neighborhoods that we work in to basically, as I said, enhance and expand and really try to battle against some of the historical inequities. We also know that in Denver, the population has exploded in the last decade and a half. Yes. So there's this pressure on the park system. Mm-hmm. So we were created by myself and former Councilwoman Kendra Black to be a fundraising organization. We want to put more money into the park system to improve parks, to expand the park system where none exists. So that's our high-level mission. And we've got a lot of other things going on as well.
And I know I was reading that you guys are doing this project right now where you're using bilingual. Is it, you've placed certain, is it kiosks or something throughout?
Yeah, so this is a new initiative. So in addition to when I talk about enhancements of parks, we do park projects. We're like capital projects. Mm-hmm. A capital project is a large fundraise for a playground. We completed one in St. Charles Place Park. But we also really believe in park stewardship and resiliency. Mm-hmm. And so our resiliency effort is called the Pollinator Trail. Okay. And so Denver Parks and Recreation has been transitioning flower beds and turf grass. The industry calls it turf grass, but it's mm-hmm. what you have in your lawn.
Yeah.
And they're taking that out of non-recreational areas. Mm-hmm. So something not in the soccer field, but think about the area between, say, you get out of your car and you walk, there's grass in between the sidewalk. They're going to take all that out and replace it with native plants and pollinators. Better for the environment.
Yeah.
Pollinators, one-third of every bite of our food is impacted by a pollinator. So we created this idea, and again, it's a borrowing. We borrowed it from Santa Fe, New Mexico, a pollinator trail. And so there's signage in Spanish and English, and it describes that you are looking at native plants and pollinators. This is why they're important. And there's a QR code if you'd like to get more information.
So it's an educational piece.
And a connection of – so what we want to do is we're not a programming organization, so we're not going to put native plants in your yard.
Yeah.
But we'll provide you with the resources, and then we invite you to join the trail, which – you would sign up on our website. You don't get a mug. You don't get a T-shirt. But you get a chance to be part of a bigger effort, a group effort, a community effort to maybe battle climate change, which is almost daunting. But if everybody does a little bit. So we're we're in the business of launching that. National Pollinator Week is June 17th.
Okay.
And so we'll have four parks that we'll have those signs in.
Yep.
We've got three businesses that have signed up. They have native plants and pollinators. They're going to put a sign in. And then we're working with four residents in the Globeville neighborhood.
Yep.
And they'll be the pilot of the pollinator trip.
Oh, that is so cool.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And I love that initiative. We have just built a new community down in New Braunfels, Texas.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah. And so it's a ground-up community. And one of the things that was very important to us, it's an affordable housing community down there. And what we wanted to do is, because we had to do some construction, we're going to actually repollinate with, plantings and trees that are, from the area to put it back in. So we have the same sort of, ecosystem still happening there, because there was a little bit of disruption with trying to, build this community. But we're putting in all of the different trees and shrubs and everything that are local to New Braunfels. And so,
terrific.
Yeah, and it's really nice to hear that. And that was one of the things that when we were looking at the design of the community and, of course, with the common spaces, the parks, was we want to make sure that we're not disrupting the environment. We're doing a lot of things that are green. We have a pond there. So we got a lot of we just wanted to preserve it as much as possible and create a space even for our community and for our residents where they can go back and still enjoy these things. So it's not flattened, nothing to do with the environment there, just putting in grass and not even thinking about, disrupting the environment. So we were very cognizant of that with our architectural firm and making sure plantings and everything were put back and even elevated even more. So
I love that. I'm going to tell this story about your project.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you're doing it with the affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
In the old days, that wasn't the case,
nope.
Right? Maybe the well-resourced communities got the good gardening or the native plants and pollinators. But the fact that you're doing that is that makes me smile.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crazy in different ways. But I think when we talk about spaces, if they have native plants and pollinators, or maybe they grow food, or maybe they have recreational opportunities, those are good uses of space, in addition to housing residents. And that's important as well. So the building that community you talked about.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
And then I know this is something of interest, too, that we were learning more of is multi-generational play spaces.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's interesting because, we talk about playgrounds all the time. And, playgrounds are for a certain, age group. But multi-generational play spaces are things that you can go to the playground and have your 8-year-old with a grandparent there, and they can still do activities together.
Oh, that's great.
And it's really interesting because that's what we're doing in a lot of our new communities. And sometimes some of our older communities were going in there. So instead of taking a traditional playground, we're putting in activities and things that, multi-generations can do. And so I know looking at your website and what you guys are doing, you have a lot of focus on, play spaces and the parks and bringing, a lot of different people together.
Yeah, we could do more of that in our parks in Denver. The one playground that we helped fund at St. Charles Place Park in the Cole neighborhood, there was an area for kids under 5.
Mm-hmm.
The main playground was a natural playground, which but that was really, took kids up to like 12 or something. But we didn't have anything for grandpa. So.
Well, you know what? It's funny because my grandpa was playing dodgeball, but I think those have been—I think those have been taken out of playgrounds.
Yeah,
with all the injuries.
They don't work anymore.
Dodgeball and what was that ball that?
Yeah,
you
that's great. Yeah, I mean, and that's when the private sector can take something into the public sector, that can happen too.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah.
So tell me a little bit more, how do you guys involve the local community with your efforts? I know you've already mentioned a few things, but.
So a good example of that, Vanessa, is that our community grant program.
Mm-hmm.
So we raised a bucket of money a couple of years ago. And what we do is we work with communities and we Have them fill out a simple application. It's only four questions. They don't have to be a nonprofit. And what we focus on is community-led, and we call them small-scale, high-impact projects. Mm-hmm. And where we work with communities, I think we provide the most value, is when communities want something in their neighborhood park and they contact the Parks Department, mm-hmm. who are our partners and my friends, yeah. sometimes there's a language difference. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, the community is asking for something and the Parks Department is saying no because of things that they know about the parks. Like, community might want a bench put in, but the Parks Department knows that the irrigation or the location is not right for it. So yeah. they say no. So we're, through our community grant program, we try to bridge that communication gap. And I'll give yeah. you a really good example. So in the Whittier neighborhood, there's a park, Madam C.J. Walker Park. And Madam C.J. Walker was the first female self-made millionaire in the United States, a black woman who grew up in Five Points. She created a hair care business.
Wow.
And so there's a park named after her. It's a really tiny pocket park in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. in the Whittier neighborhood, historic black neighborhood. And the park has had, in 2000, they put in three signs, interpretive signs, the signs where you read, mm-hmm. you know, and they learn the history. And they yeah. told the story of the life and legacy of Madam C.J. Walker. And the signs became unreadable because, you know, Colorado's weather.
Yeah.
And so 2 years ago, the community had been contacting the Parks Department and they weren't getting a response. These are very small projects. So the Parks Department is understaffed and working on huge projects. And they weren't really returning the calls. And we got involved through Daryl Watson, who's the council person down there. Mm-hmm. We worked with the community to basically found the person who created the original artwork. We worked with the Parks Department to let us run the project and fund the restoration of interpretive signs, found the vendor, and got those restored and funded the whole thing from our community grant program. And so that's just one example, and we've completed seven community grants, and we've got three working right now, of where we're working directly, listening to the communities and listening to the Parks Department and trying to put together a workable project. And ribbon cuttings and people standing around bright, colorful signs in a park, yeah. it's just, you know, you can't help but smile. So, yeah, so that's kind of – that's a long answer to your question.
No, but I love that. And I've seen a lot of the murals too.
Murals are beautiful in parks.
And I love seeing those big murals because it just adds that beautiful color. There's historical significance. Tell me, like, is there a mural in Denver that people should see in one of the parks?
Well, I guess I'm partial probably yeah. to – so our oldest park in Denver, Mestizo Curtis Park in the Curtis Park neighborhood, roughly I think 30th and Champa. Mm-hmm. There's a swimming pool and there's a mural that's been there for quite a while, and it's done by a gentleman by the name of Emmanuel Martinez, very well-known artist in Denver, has mm-hmm. done many murals, does all kinds of artwork, and his – he's got kids who are in the art business, but you go there and it's just kind of a it's a mural that just kind of symbolizes different types of people who have inhabited our lands, from our earliest indigenous to our early residents to our current residents to everyone who's lived in that neighborhood, and and they're larger images. It's just kind of cool, and it's colorful, and it's on a wall of the swimming pool building, and that would just be a white wall of nothing if you didn't do that.
Yeah.
So that's one that I like.
And it sparks that creative side, and people can see that, and you know, think about like the history, but also see something beautiful at the same time. That is great. Now, I know you had mentioned quite a few projects and things that you're doing. Is there one that you're really excited about? I mean, you're probably excited about all of them, but is there one where you're like, this is going to be the coolest park project in Denver?
Yes. When park time is slow time. So it takes a long time to work on a project. So prior to even founding the Parks Department, I was on the Denver Parks and Recreation Advisory Board and started following a park in the Villa Park neighborhood. So Villa Park is in West Denver and predominantly Latino neighborhood. And there's an 11-acre park along Lakewood Gulch named Joseph P. Martinez Park. Mm-hmm. And the Parks Department announced plans to do a revitalization of that. Private Joe Martinez was the first Latino and Coloradan to receive the Medal of Honor in World War II. He grew up in Alt, Colorado. Mm-hmm. He died in battle in 1945 on the Aleutian Islands in Alaska, holding off, working with the American soldiers to hold off the Japanese invasion.
Yeah.
And at one time, there was a ship named after him in the 60s in San Diego. There's a statue downtown in Veterans Park. When the park was being revitalized, we saw an opportunity to pull together stakeholders, the Villa Park residents, mm-hmm. Veterans, predominantly Latino veterans, and there is a large number of them in Denver,
I'm sure.
And also Medal of Honor supporters. And those three groups have come together to raise money to create a tribute to Private Martinez. And we're working with Denver Arts and Venues on that right
yeah.
now. And together with Denver Arts and Venues and those three stakeholder groups, we've put together $116,000. An artist has been selected. And he will create Marco Garcia, and he will create an art piece honoring Private Martinez as the park is rebuilt or revitalized in the next 2 years.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that because yeah. it's been probably about 2 or 3 years of work on it. And just I've met so many people, and July 27th is Private Martinez's birthday, and for the last 2 years, we've held a birthday party in the park for 125 residents who've come. And
that is so cool.
Food, and so it's just fun to see the whole thing come together. So, yeah, I'm really excited that Denver Parks and Recreation is going to redo the park and that there'll be an art piece where people can go and learn about bravery and service and what that means.
I just love the fact that you take the parks, you've got the physical sort of element, with whether it's skating or the playgrounds, with the art, and it's the fusion of all of that, I think is so cool. Because I love to see, I've been to certain cities where they'll have sculpture in the park. And I'm like, wow, that is so interesting. I don't have to go to an art museum to necessarily have that experience. Just going to a local park and you get to see those things.
Public art. It's a wonderful thing.
I love it. It's great. Except, the statue at the airport always freaks me out.
Oh, the Blucifer?
The Blue Slipper. I don't know. That one's
not in a park.
I try not to look at but it's, Denver City.
Yeah, I know. It's in the eye of the beholder.
Yes, exactly.
You know it when you see it. So.
Yeah, I try not to look at it when I get to the airport. It always freaks me out a little bit. So tell us how people in Denver can help get involved too. I mean, I know there's some volunteer opportunities. I know our team, like the marketing team, we go out and every year our company pays us 8 hours of paid time to go and volunteer in the community. And so the team, the marketing team, we always go out and we clean up a park. We've cleaned up several parks around Denver. But how can someone who's listening get involved?
Well, I think many ways. Neighbors get together and have a great idea, contact us about a community grant. We'll help you with your park. We want to do that. So that's one way to get involved. And then on the volunteering side, we work on setting up those same park cleanups that you and the marketing team. In fact, I'll grab somebody on the way out and talk to them.
Yeah.
But we also have we've created a signature event. Mm-hmm. And it's coming up on Saturday, May 11th. Okay. And it's called Parks, Rivers, Trails, and Trees. And on Saturday, May 11th, from 10:30 to 12, mm-hmm. neighborhoods and groups will clean up 17 parks across the city at one time. This is the third year we've done it.
Yeah.
So we've got Sunnyside United Neighbors is going to lead a cleanup at Chaffee Park. The Denver Park Trust is organizing all of that and supporting them with cleanup tools, the snacks and drinks, and then also the registration and waivers and all that. So we're organizing it with all of our partners.
Well, count us in.
Yeah.
Count us in, definitely. Our team. And
then after the cleanup, so you can pick your park, volunteers can pick their park to go to. And then afterwards, we invite all of the volunteers to come to the City Park Pavilion for a community celebration. And the hook to get them to come is we buy them lunch at the food trucks.
So when
you're at the park cleanup, say you're at Ruby Hill Park and you're doing the park cleanup with Ruby Hill Neighbors, as you walk out, they'll give you a food voucher. And if you go to the city park, then you'll be able to go to one of the three food trucks. And then we'll have drinks. It's family friendly, so we'll have games. And the idea is that it's a celebration of our shared public spaces, our parks, our rivers, our trails, our trees. There won't be any long speeches or anything. There'll be games for the kids. There'll be music. And it's only 3 hours, but it's just a chance for all of us. Maybe you meet another volunteer from another company or another part of town, and it's your 10th time you volunteered for something or your first time, and just this sense of community and being in our shared public spaces. I mentioned earlier the Austin Parks Foundation.
Yeah.
That was their idea. They have neighborhood groups clean up 100 parks over an entire week, and then have a big celebration at the end. And we started.
And then they have to clean up after the celebration.
Right. Yeah. And we started with 5 parks the first year. Then we went to 13, and this year we're at 17.
Yeah.
And by May, it may be 20. So it's growing, but it's just a chance to, all be together. And we would love to have you guys.
May 11th, right?
It's the day before Mother's Day. So there'll also be things for people, little succulents for folks to make a donation for and take home to give to their mom or their grandma.
Oh, that is so cool, though. Yeah, yeah. But we love doing that. I mean, we do this every year. We do a park cleanup here in Denver. But to have it where it's so well orchestrated and organized is so cool that, you're getting to meet probably other companies that are doing something like this or just neighbors. So very, very cool.
So that's to answer your question, how we get folks involved. The community grants and also the volunteering. Always anybody sends us a donation. We don't mind that either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so if someone was interested in donating or doing any of that for this organization, where do they go?
I think that we're a 2-person staff. So it's myself and Michaela Perry. And if someone goes to denverparktrust.org, and we've got contact us, we've got all the volunteer sign-up forms, we've got plenty of ways to get a hold of us. And Denver Park is singular. Some people put a S on the end, but denverparktrust.org. And then we'll respond right away, and we would love to engage with anyone who's interested. You brought it me a good idea today, and hopefully somebody who contacts us can say, hey, I've seen this in a park. I'd love to see more of it.
Yeah.
And we can learn from that.
Frank, thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast, and appreciate all the time that you have taken out of your busy day and all the great things that you're doing here in Denver with the parks.
Thanks to you, Vanessa. I mean, I learned something about your more about your organization, and love what you guys are doing. And hopefully you'll find some organizations like ours and other communities you're building. And it's been wonderful. Thanks for letting us tell our story.
Thank you for listening to What Living Means. If you've enjoyed our show, please leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd really appreciate it. I'm Vanessa Jasinski, and I'll see you next time.